for our Dallas Fort Worth event that will be the first weekend in December.
Mm-hmm. And you are mostly a Texas apostolate. I know you do an event in Louisiana, or you have done that, but this is what, bring us back. I think the first one ever was San Antonio or Houston or what? What are the origins?
Well, we were founded in 2001, and we are always have been headquartered in Houston, where I live. And since 2001, we have branched out and have tried to serve as many cities and dioceses as possible. We're going on 25 years now since 2001, and we have managed to serve in 13 different dioceses in Texas and Louisiana, and in two states, of course, and somewhere between 135, 150 conferences later, here we are. So mm-hmm. we're still going strong, God willing, and it's been a great ride.
Yeah, and unlike, you know, a lot of groups like, you know, I'm just thinking of us, you know, we run radio stations and then we happen to have events, or a group like Catholic Charities, they do their thing, but they just happen to have an event. Y'all are unique is that the events are what you do. The events aren't like something extra to make some money to carry on your mission. The mission is events, and that's unique, isn't it?
It is. Yes. I think we're fairly unique across, you know, the United States, maybe worldwide, actually. You know, I kind of call ourselves a bunch of, you know, sort of crazy Catholics out of Houston that will gather, you know, load up the cars, load up the U-Haul and travel, you know, to other cities and do what we can to evangelize fellow Catholics or anybody that will sit down and listen, you know, to the gift and treasure we have to share. Yeah, I think there's others that maybe do something similar at a, you know, parish-based or more of a narrow focus. We're a basic catechetical, you know, evangelization ministry for average Catholics, if you will.
Yeah. I
mean, and that's what we've been doing for 25 years.
Was, when you started this in 2001, was there, because since it is so unique, there really wasn't a model to say, I think we'll be like that group, right? I mean, you had to kind of develop something brand new. Am I right?
Well, I like to think it was original, but really, I think I lifted the idea mostly from St. Joseph's Communications at that time.
Okay.
You know, they were writing the Scott Hahn tape, conversion tape wave back then. But they were mostly focused in Southern California. They were doing, I think, or getting close to launching their Midwest event that's still going strong in Wichita. But I thought, well, why not in Texas? You know, I've been blessed with a good job and I could invest it in souls. And so was called to do so. So I really kind of got the idea of a multi-day, multi-speaker event from St. Joseph's Communications, like their Long Beach and Anaheim conferences. Mm-hmm.
I remember back in the, I came running back into the, you know, I'm a cradle Catholic, but I really got charged up in my faith back in the late 90s. And this was what the age of Scott Hahn and some of these other great apologists. But that was the age of like apologist Carl Keating and these kind of guys, Tim Staples, who, you know, who's still around, of course, now. But has the appetite changed for what people are looking for? It seems like lately there's been a lot of, you know, demonology and exorcism. Are there waves that you have detected in these last 25 years of what people are interested in, or how would you describe that?
I think it's a mix of the waves that have gone, you know, through me personally and where I was, and also a discernment of what people wanted or needed to hear. So for example, as you've mentioned early on, I think our conferences took on a heavy apologetics sort of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these, you know, convert clergymen coming into the church. And I was a revert myself, so I was, you know, very impacted by the credibility of their story of not wanting to become Catholic, but the truth convicted them that they must be, you know, faithful to our Lord. So I think bringing those through, and the Tim Staples, and at least, you know, he was one, an example of that. Scott Hahn, you know, Jeff Cavins, on down the road of those that went to, you know, on Marcus Grodi's show, you know, Coming Home Network, Marcus himself as well. I think that's where we kind of started, because that's where I was and was so important to me in my reversion to the faith, the reasons for the faith, the whys behind the what we believe, you know, what we, and that's what I lacked as a kid growing up. I kind of knew what we believe, but I didn't know why. And when I got old enough, I figured the whys, nobody seemed to tell me the whys. So I kind of made the false assumption that there was no whys.
Yeah.
But when I discovered the whys, and you mentioned Carl Keating, because it was really his book that started me, you know, really propelled me on this cascade, reading his book, Fundamentalism and Catholicism, or Catholicism and Fundamentalism, I can't remember the order. That book changed everything for me. And it just showed me so many of the whys behind what, you know, we as Catholics believe, you know, maybe peculiarly amongst the different, you know, Catholic groups or Christian groups. So apologetics was early on the focus. It seemed to be a big desire to have more and more of that around. And so that's what we did. I think it then went through a phase of, okay, we've done that. Let's start bringing in why the Mass, you know, Marian conferences, the Eucharist, very, you know, very central in most everything we do and have done. So teaching Catholics about, again, the treasure they have and why we worship the way we do, and not to see it as an obligation, but as a, you know, an opportunity to, you know, enthusiastically, I can't wait to get the Mass, you know, that, mm-hmm. that's what we wanted to help support. I think with the Eucharistic Congress, we saw a lot of that as well coming around. Every parish or diocese that we've served seemed like they wanted to have more of that, you know, why the Mass, why the Eucharist, especially with COVID and people not, you know, seemingly coming back to Mass. That was very important. Spiritual warfare, you mentioned, yes, that is a bit of a hot topic right now. We try to address that, but not in any kind of sensational way. We don't want everything to be, you know, focused on extraordinary, you know, cases of spiritual warfare or demonology, but really everyday spiritual warfare of resisting sin and temptation. Right now, I'll try and give you the long answer to your short question. Our focus has been, I think, more on prayer and spirituality lately. It's occurred to us, and I think is rightly pointed out, that all truth and even the sacraments of the Mass itself really point us to ultimately our relationship and union with God. And of course, the vehicle for that is in prayer and seeking God in prayer. And so once the truth of our faith really kind of filters down intellectually, and we are now convinced of the truth of our faith, that really needs to kind of percolate down to the heart mm-hmm. and the heart of the faith and the heart of what this is all about. And that is, again, reaching heaven, living with our Lord and our God eternally, but union with Him. And that can only be done through prayer.
Yeah. Ken Zammit is my guest. He is founder and president of Fullness of Truth Ministries. They put on Catholic conferences and events across the state of Texas, Louisiana. Their website, fullnessoftruth.org, fullnessoftruth.org. In fact, they've got several events still coming up this year, with the next one is going to be, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, at least the one that I have off the website, August 15th through 17th. It's called For Heaven's Sake, Staying on the Path with the Science of Sainthood, 19th Annual Catholic Family Summer Conference at the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Spa in San Antonio. This is your biggest conference every year, isn't it? I mean, this is San Antonio. I mean, they come out. I mean, what is it about San Antonio? This is a great venue. And you get a couple thousand people at this event every year, don't you?
We do. I think it's just been consistently the one conference year in and year out that everybody looks forward to. It's a summer event, a family event. You mentioned the venue, the destination. We certainly don't have to twist arms to get people to come there. Everybody has a wonderful retreat experience, and we, like the attendees, just kind of float out of there when we're done and just, you know, praise God for, again, the fullness of truth of our faith. And so that is our next big conference, but I mean, you skipped one. Actually, we do have one this weekend.
By the time this runs, it's going to be over.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, gotcha.
Wait, how did that last one go? What was that? Was that Houston?
Well, I mean, it's coming up this weekend.
So, yeah. Okay.
So San Antonio, and then after that, we will be in Round Rock in the Austin Diocese at the Kalahari Resort, trying to. Recreate that San Antonio destination experience.
Great venue.
So we're building that. It is a wonderful event, and that will be focused on the Catholic culture revival. So kind of bringing in more the cultural, you know, battles of our day, you know, culture war kind of stuff, but also bringing in a lot about sacred tradition, sacred art, sacred music, sacred architecture, you know, the Catholic culture revival and supporting that. So, and then in Dallas will be our final one of the year after our Louisiana event in November, the Dallas conference at the Allen Marriott, December 5th through 7th. And we're really excited about that. It's going to be another Marian conference. We're going to call it, you know, the Hail Immaculata, Mother Mary and Heaven's Plan for Spiritual Warfare. And joining us will be like Jeff Cavins and Father Donald Calloway, Monsignor Eugene Morris out of St. Louis, and Gabriel Castillo, among others. So
that's the Allen one, right?
That's the Allen.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Have you found, you know, I was very blessed to MC the original Round Rock one a couple years ago, and it was... Father, who was
Father
Chad Ripperger, mm-hmm. and you had, it just seemed like the perfect storm of a really good topic. You had a really well-known exorcist priest, and you had some other demonologists and lay leaders, and it just all kind of came together. Have you, and I know that's not the only time that's happened, it's probably happened many times, when it just, everything seems to be the great topic, the great speakers. Is it formulaic, or what makes a good conference? You mentioned the venue. I mean, the Kalahari, the Hyatt Regency down in San Antonio. What have you found in all these years makes for the best conference?
Well, I think we mentioned and discussed San Antonio. I think the destination, hate to say it, but it does matter. You know, we're human beings, we're families, we're, you know, mom and dad, you know, can we devote ourselves to learn our faith deeper over a weekend? What kind of helps tip the scales? Having a fun, you know, place to go. Fun is a factor in conference promotion. So I think destination has a lot to do with it. Then from there, it's speakers, maybe, you know, household names helps bring people out and the theme. And then depending on where you are in Texas, Louisiana, maybe particular conflicts that you may be avoiding or maybe running up against. I made the mistake of having a conference in Louisiana on the weekend of an Alabama LSU game. And, you know, I learned a hard lesson. I thought it was an away game, but, you know, I've learned you don't go in Louisiana and try to hold a conference during the fall unless it's either a bye week or it's a...
Or do it on a Wednesday.
Or a lightweight opponent, maybe early in the year or stuff, but you just don't go against it. And so you got to be wise.
But you got to plan so far ahead. I mean, you can't plan these out 2 months. I mean, you're probably right now planning,
I'm working on 26 and
27 right now. And then you got to have the topic that's right, the speakers that's right. How do you find, I mean, there's obviously the names that people know, you know, you got the Father Mike Schmitz and the Dr. Scott Hans and the well-known Father Calloway you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Matthew Leonard, I think, is going to be at the San Antonio one, right?
Yes.
How do you scope out the new talent or the guys, maybe the up-and-comers? I mean, do you have a scouting team, or are you looking at YouTube videos, or where do you find the people that will be your speakers in the years to come?
Suggestions come from all over. They come from surveys of our attendees. There's just tons of them unsolicited. You know, I've got several today. I mean, at breakfast.
Oh, is that right?
I got four or five, you know. But I would say between myself, just kind of keeping the antennae up, you know, looking for that next up-and-coming speaker, trying to mix in that maybe not so well-known with mm-hmm. the well-known. Is a good balance. But my team and our team at Fullness of Truth, these are people that spend a lot more time listening to podcasts and on the internet than me in my 60s, you know, tend to be. So I get a lot of intel mm-hmm. from them as well. So from there, it's a prayerful discernment and trying to find the speakers, their different wheelhouses they have, and trying to put them together into a great thematic coverage of the topic, you know, the subject matter for that particular weekend.
And tell me a little bit more about the San Antonio event. It's not, I mean, what, June, July, August? I mean, it was just a couple of months away from this one now.
Right.
For Heaven's Sake, Staying on the Path with the Science of Sainthood, 19th Annual Catholic Family Summer Conference, Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Spa in San Antonio. I mentioned Matthew Leonard, and he actually surprised me. I saw him speak last year at a conference, and I think he was even filling in for somebody at the, he was speaking at the benefit dinner.
Right. Yeah.
And I think he was filling in for a speaker that wasn't able to make it.
Correct.
He was just, I mean, he brought down the house. He was outstanding, his testimony. So he's going to be there. Who else will be in San Antonio?
Well, we'll have his close friend and, you know, a buddy, basically Dr. Brant Petrie. Matthew and Brant go back to their days at the St. Paul Center with Scott Hahn and have a very close relationship. And their work trajectory is taken on the same kind of path as well. And that is, again, the idea of prayer and the interior life. If you look at Dr. Petrie's latest books and Matthew's beautiful Science of Sainthood website, if people have not looked at that, they really need to check out the Science of Sainthood. And so that's why in the subtitle I mentioned the Science of Sainthood. I think it's catchy, and I think it kind of tells the story that we can learn from the saints, especially the Carmelite saints, on prayer and especially deeper forms of prayer. You know, contemplative prayer and whatnot. So we can learn from them. And this conference will be focused on that interior life. And that's what they love to speak on. And again, really is that, you know, probably the most important topic we're going to cover.
FullnessOfTruth.org is the website. FullnessOfTruth.org is the website again. August 15th through 17th. I'm going to be the MC for that event. I'm very excited about that.
I love
MCing these events. It's just I walk away from these on a Sunday feeling a spiritual high. Like I don't want to leave. You know, that's the feeling I always, every single time. I think I've MC'd five of these, and it's like you know. You want to just stay. I mean, because you always have adoration. You've got reconciliation. You've got mass. You know, Dave and Lauren Moore typically have been the music, and of course they're just outstanding. What about? And let's see, we got about 4 minutes remaining. The third annual Round Rock Catholic Family Fall Conference and Benefit Dinner. What can you tell us about that one? That's going to be in the fall, right?
Yeah, that'll be first week of October. First week in October, October 3rd and 5th at the Kalahari Resort. And again, this is that the Catholic Culture Revival Conference, restoring the good, true, and beautiful to a searching world. And it's still taking development right now. I've got a few folks, I think, lined up that I have to kind of get vetted in the usual way before we go public with it. But what we have confirmed is Dr. Ted Shree and Dr. Mary Healy, and an old friend of mine, Eric Jenis, that wonderful Catholic concert pianist, coming in. Again, I mentioned, you know, part of that beauty and is, you know, sacred music, and Eric has just done a wonderful job with that, and you know, how music touches our souls.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be the focus there. Giancarlo Bernini will bring his
magic,
his Catholic form of illusions.
Illusions, yeah.
And cool. He kind of teaches catechetically while performing illusions as well, and he's spectacular. So we'll have some others to join in on that, along with Dave and Lauren Moore again, and our beautiful masses that we always offer.
Is there a speaker that you've never had that you would love to have? Is there anybody that comes to your mind that, like, one person is like, gosh, I wish.
Just one?
Yeah. Or you can name a couple if you want. Yeah. Who's a dream conference, if you could put it together?
Well, I think I've have the speakers that I think, for me, like you mentioned Matthew Leonard, for me, pound for pound, what have you. I mean, Matthew just brings it every time. He is so talented, so articulate. You know, his buddy Bran as well. I mean, they're funny. They're just have a way of crystallizing what could be complex or deep, like prayer, and putting it in simple terms that we can all kind of grasp the first time through and practically make a change. But I think if I had to guess or had to choose someone I'd like to have from a promoter standpoint, it'd be Father Mike Schmidt or you know, Bishop Robert Barron. I've never had either one of them, and I know they would make my job easier of getting souls in the seats to know, hear the meat of the whole conference in general.
Yeah, they definitely would draw people. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Ken. It's great talking to you. I got all. It's just I love what you do, and you guys do it so well. And I've seen it from the inside and the outside. I've been an attendee a number of times. Really over a 20-year period. I remember going to one in Arlington many, many, many years ago, and then to be able to go inside and be the MC at the event, I see how, you know, the sausage is made, so to speak, and it's a really smooth-running organization, and I've always walked out of there saying that. So thanks for what you do, and thanks for the souls you're teaching and the people that you're educating. I just invite everybody to go to this website, fullnessoftruth.org, and check out their upcoming events, August 15th through 17th in San Antonio, and Round Rock is going to be near the Austin area, October 3rd through 5th, and of course right here in DFW, December 5th through 7th at the Allen Marriott Dallas Allen Hotel and Convention Center with a Marian theme. So anyways, Ken Gray, thanks for coming and visiting with us, and appreciate you spending some time on the air with me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Again, fullnessoftruth.org is the website, fullnessoftruth.org. And if you have suggestions for future interviews like this, you email me directly, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. God bless you. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Elementary, middle, and high schoolers are invited to a Totus Tuus summer camp program. Totus Tuus is a Catholic camp that promotes the faith through catechesis, evangelization, worship, and fun. The Totus Tuus 2025 Summer Youth Camp will take place from July 20th through July 25th at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church in Grapevine. The camp will be filled with faith, messy games, crazy skits, fun, and friendship. For camp details and to register, visit sfatx.org and search on Totus Tuus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kyle Eberlein at Mid-Cities Dental. Our mission is to cultivate relationships with our patients, being advisors concerning their dental health and habits. We invite you to come by and visit our dental office in Hearst to meet us and our staff. We are longtime supporters of this radio station, where you hear the good news proclaimed each day. We can be reached by calling 817-282-9321, or you can learn more about us online at MidCitiesDental.com. That's MidCitiesDental.com.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network, 9:10 a.m. and also 11:40 a.m. Of course, also on our live stream at grnonline.com and the good old-fashioned app, the GRN app, which is great to download because you can literally listen anywhere in the world to our programming. And If you've listened to this program over the years, you know that I love to talk about books. I'm a published author myself, and I love to hear how people are inspired to write books, especially when there's a Catholic faith element to it. And so, interestingly, earlier this year, I think it was February, I was over at the University of Dallas, and I was allowed to get up there and make a little announcement about car raffle sales. And as I was in the narthex after Mass, a young lady and her husband walked up, and she asked me if I did local interviews. I said, yes. And she said, I'm about to publish a children's book. Would you do an interview? And I said, yeah, of course. And she said, but it's not ready yet. So I said, well, stay in touch with me. And once it's published, let's do an interview. And so that's exactly what we're doing right now. Her name is Genesis Parolo, and her book is called Violet's Colorful Adventure. And she and her husband, Chris, have been married for about 2 years. And she's from California, and he's from Jersey. And they met online, like my wife and I did. And I'll tell you a little bit more about her. They're also parishioners that kind of split time between Mary Immaculate and Farmers Branch and the University of Dallas. So before I do a little bit more, I want to welcome you, Genesis, and thank you for coming in.
No, of course. Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's such a blessing. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'm very intrigued by the book. I just think it's such a cool idea. Sometimes you think all the ideas are already taken up, and I read that. I thought, well, that's a really neat idea. So we'll talk more about the book in a moment. On the back of her book, she has a bio. And I wanted to tell you a little bit more about her. Genesis Parolo's passion for storytelling developed early on because her parents read to her a lot as a child. God put it on her heart to write this book. One night, the idea came to her all at once, and she knew it was her purpose to share it. A marketer and youth motivational speaker, she uses creativity to spread positivity. She earned a business degree from Sacramento State University. Genesis further explored her passion in high school when she became president of her school's creative writing club and helped her peers by leading them to embark into their own personally inspired journeys. Genesis hopes her book teaches kids the power of kindness and the importance of making a positive impact. She believes that raising children with strong morals and a desire to help others will shape them into future leaders. So, all right, now we know a little bit about you. So this, you grew up in California, you're cradle Catholic, anything else about your upbringing? Obviously, you're a creative type. And you like to read and write, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I always was very creative minded and love, you know, painting. I did a fundraiser for St. Jude's Research Hospital when I was younger because I've always loved giving back to the community. And, you know, the book is personal to me because looking back in my childhood, I did enjoy giving random acts of kindness, whether it was to my neighbors, my community at church, or even my friends. I love baking goods. I love writing letters for people. So that really hits a spot back to my childhood and what I did and the morals I was raised with growing up, really.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that your parents read to you, which is something that I hope most parents listening right now would do that. I still read every night to my 11-year-old son. He's on the autism spectrum, so he doesn't read as well as most kids, but that made a big influence on you. What kind of things did they read to you, and what kind of books as a child made an impression on you?
I mean, there are so many, so yeah. It's hard to, you know, keep track, but I just remember it was ingrained as part of my childhood. I mean, I would grab stacks of books from my little library I had in my house and have my mom or dad read them to me, and it was just a tremendous part of my childhood and learning and growing, learning stories about kindness, about faith, about empathy, about compassion, instilled those morals in me to really be the person I am today. So I really thank, you know, my parents for rooting that in me and instilling those good morals within me at a young age.
Yeah. What brought you to North Texas a couple years ago? Obviously, you got married to Chris a couple years ago. Was the marriage what brought you to the Dallas area, and why so?
Yes, it is. So he got an opportunity with the UFL. So he went ahead and got that job with the football league. And then I said, you know, I'll find marketing somewhere. It's always everywhere now. And, you know, God blessed me with that opportunity at Parker University, where I host a podcast series for our student and alumni on YouTube called the Student and Alumni Spotlight Series. And it's just been incredible there. And everything just worked out. You know how God's plans always mm-hmm. just miraculously work out the way they're supposed to. And so everything just turned out great.
Yeah, well, cool. UFL, Football League, is your husband's a footballer?
He's not a footballer. I get that asked actually quite a lot. But he does coach his videography, so he loves it. It's a great passion.
Oh, that is so cool. Well, we're glad that you're here in North Texas. And you're familiar with media, and I'm interested in the motivational aspect, especially when it comes to young people. What inspired you to do that? It sounds like a big part of what you do is to try to bring the best out of people, particularly young people, right?
Yes, that's a tremendous passion of mine. I mean, I've had it on my heart since high school, really. At high school, when it was my graduation, I had the honor of giving the closing speech in front of approximately 4,000 people.
I mean, no pressure,
right?
Wow.
And I was tremendously freaking out beforehand, shaking, sweaty, everything you can think of when it comes to feeling anxiety and feeling fear. And when I got up to that podium and saw all my peers in their navy blue gowns and caps, God just gave me like so much peace. I mean, there's no word to really describe it except for that it was a Holy Spirit that came over me. And I felt like God was telling me that he had placed me on earth for this reason, to inspire the youth, to inspire our future leaders of tomorrow. And in that moment, I just talked to 4,000 people like I was talking to my best friend.
Yeah.
And I just was like, wow, like this is something, like this is a gift I have to hone on to. So since I was 18 years old, I've been honing into that gift. I've been speaking at universities, high schools, churches, focusing on ministry and leadership development, really trying to bring the youth closer to God, really trying to help them and equip them with the skills that they need to be successful in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Just a curiosity question, then we'll move on to the book. As far as the world is so different today for young people than certainly it was when I was growing up, because there weren't, you know, phones and social media and internet. It's changed so much. And I just wonder how that plays into the psyche of a young person, and maybe how you're using the media and your podcast to reach these people. But what impact do you think the social media, especially the explosion of it in the last 10 years or so, is having on young people?
I think it's been hard, really. Just, you know, seeing students struggle with the confidence, and it just breaks my heart, you know, just them not feeling equipped because they're comparing themselves 24/7 when they're scrolling on social media to someone else's story, someone else's narrative. And I really believe it just affects their mental health in such a negative way when they're not using it as a positive resource, right? And I really feel like the enemy is using that to bring down the youth. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really heartbreaking to see. And, you know, I just wish that there was less of that consuming their minds, because I feel like the enemy is putting false narratives and lies in their head that are consuming them on a day-to-day basis. Mm. And it's just awful, really. It is.
Yeah, well, that's a really good insight. I appreciate that. My guest is Genesis Parolo. Her book is Violet's Colorful Adventure. And I want to ask you about that part of your bio where it says, "One night the idea came to you all at once," about this book. But before I do that, I'll read the quick description of the book so people can know what it's about. The book, again, Violet's Colorful Adventure. In the dull, colorless town of Greystone, a bright-hearted girl named Violet and her loyal pup Clay discover a magical secret. When a shimmering butterfly reveals the power of kindness, Violet embarks on an adventure to transform her town, one good deed at a time. With every act of kindness, splashes of color begin to appear, bringing life to and joy to Greystone. But can Violet and Clay spread enough kindness to brighten the entire town? Join them on this heartwarming journey and discover the magic of kindness. Even the smallest good deed can point the world in beautiful colors. So can paint the world in beautiful colors. I'm sorry. So it came to you one night. Tell us about that inspiration, that light that came on that night.
Yeah. So I was just sitting in my kitchen and I just had a moment where God just spoke to me and he gave me the whole idea for the book. And I just remember being like, wow, like I need to write this down. You know those moments where it's an epiphany. You're like, I need to hold on to this before I forget. So I grabbed a notepad and I grabbed a pen and I just started writing everything that God was speaking through to me about this book. Hmm. And after I was done writing everything for maybe about 20, 25 minutes, I went and showed it to my husband who's on the couch. And I said, I have this book. Like, this was put on my heart. This is something I need to do. This is going to happen. And as an amazing husband he is, he was so supportive and excited. And he's like, okay, I'm here for you, rooting for you during this journey. And I just went with it. And I
did you have the title and everything? I mean, how much of the finished product came into your mind right away?
Yeah, it was really like the whole storyline, which was crazy. I didn't have the title yet in mind, but that came to me as I started putting the pieces of the puzzle together. But really just the whole storyline came to me. It was incredible, and that's just so godsend. And you know, you can't make those things up where God just talks to you and puts something on your heart where you need to take action on it. You know you need to. And so I viewed it almost like part of my legacy, part of my purpose, that God called me to finish this project for a reason.
Yes, and you dedicate the book to your loving husband, Chris, and also your mom, Lourdes. I love that name, who always believed in me. Your sister in Christ, Ashlyn. Now, Ashlyn Miles is the illustrator of the book. And a book like this, you've got to have a good illustrator, because the whole thing is about the colors, is about the pictures. I mean, so tell us about her.
Yeah, so she's just incredible, and I'm so blessed to have her in my life, first of all. But my best friend, she's an artist, so she's just so talented. And, you know, I thought, who's better to go with than someone that I trust, someone that really embodies faith? And so, you know, I immediately remember calling her and being like, hey, I have this book idea, I need your help. And she was so excited to jump on the wagon and be like, okay, I'm going to help you for sure. And it ended up working out. But yeah, it's like using your resources, right? I feel like a lot of the times people are right there that we can utilize to help us accomplish our purpose, help us in our passion projects. And it's like, why not come together in unity? Because I feel like we're stronger that way and we can accomplish so much more together.
Yeah, so you had the inspiration, the epiphany, you go over, tell Chris, he's supportive, but then you gotta, you know, figure out how you're gonna publish it. Of course, you reached out to Ashlyn. So I think that's the thing that a lot of people, they may have a book in their head. I tend to think everybody has at least one book in their head, but going through the process of it, because I've done it, it can be difficult. Did you self-publish or did you find a publisher?
I found a publisher because I needed the support. I never had done this before. And I actually found this through my father-in-law. So he did some research and helped me out and said, hey, I found this company called Dove Christian Publishers, and I think they're the way to go. So he sent me a link. I applied, and it worked out, you know, for God's glory, the way it was supposed to. And I just went with them. I really was strong about going with a Christian publishing house, because as you know, there's a lot of content in books out there that is not good today for little kids to be reading. And unfortunately, it exists in schools and libraries. And so I wanted to provide an avenue where they can have something positive to hold on to and to learn from, for sure.
You dedicate the book to all of God's little dreamers. May you never stop using your imagination to take you to magical places. And I love that. What do you think is the biggest inhibition to people accomplishing their dreams? What's stopping people these days? What are the roadblocks?
I feel like fear can definitely be a barrier, you know, because fear seems so much bigger than it really is, especially when the enemy, I believe, he attacks the mind. Because when he attacks the mind, he gets to the spirit. And so that's something that even, you know, at the beginning, I was a little fearful because I wasn't sure of what I was doing completely. I wasn't sure where God wanted this to end up, but I just had to walk through faith in that fear. And really for me, it was like imposter syndrome. Like when I first started working on this project, was like, you know, am I too young to be a published author? Am I credible enough? Are people going to take me seriously? And in the end of the day, I really had to say, this is for the glory of God. This is for his kingdom. It is not about me. And so I need to focus on him. And I need to just keep focusing on him so much to where those insecurities and those fears just wash away. And they really did. So I just encourage people to stay honed in on your faith, on God, and on your purpose with why you want to write that book. And don't focus on those insecurities, because they will eat you away if you allow them to, and they will control you if you allow them to.
And, you know, the one of the challenges I imagine in writing a child's book is that you have to obviously write it with not a lot of words. You got to get a message across very simply. And I understand, I know there's dialogue. And so it's a very simple book. It's an easy read, but at the same time, it's meaningful. So the writing process, how did you go about that?
Really, it was just, you know, a race and write again, a race and write again. It was trial and error and just trusting in God and what message he wanted me to leave the youth. And he kept telling me it's kindness, it's empathy, it's love. And seeing the world today, we need more of that. So that's what I went with. And I tried my best to absolutely simplify that message. And I feel like it came out great. Thank you to, you know, the community that supported me and God foremost. But really, it was trial and error. And it got to a point where I kept going back to my husband. And how about this line instead of this line? And rereading things 1,000 times. And he's like, just trust yourself, trust God. And so that affirmation really helped me because it just got to the point where it's like the message is there. I don't need to overthink it anymore. I need to leave it in his hands and let him do all that he needs to do for his glory for mm-hmm. it.
I'm just thinking about the serendipitiness of you and the Crispian at that mass that evening. You know, I was giving the talk about something, you know, just selling raffle tickets. And then, but I'm sure there are little things that kind of came together. I mean, that's just one example of a radio interview that came about because you happened to be at a parish where a guy was up giving a talk who worked in radio. Were there other things that God kind of put the pieces in place as you went along? Or, you know, the fact that, you know, Ashlyn was your best friend as an illustrator, that's a pretty cool thing. But did you find the process to be challenging or did all the pieces kind of come together pretty easily?
Overall, everything came together the way it was supposed to. I mean, it was just challenging getting the context of the book, you know, like the writing process was not easy. Especially like you said, just simplifying it so simple to where it's a one liner, a one sentence on every page. I mean, getting the message across was something I had to pray about, something I had to have my husband and my parent-in-laws and my mom help me with. But end of the day, it felt like it was meant, and it still feels like it's meant because I know this is something bigger than me. This is not for me, like I said. This is for his glory, and this is for my purpose. I truly believe that. So this is one step closer to where God wants me to be. Then I'm going to do it, regardless if I have those insecurities or fears, because you know, you can't allow that to stop you end mm-hmm. of the day. You have one life. You have to live it.
Yeah, and I love how every time you speak, you are, you know, bringing in God into the picture and prayer and, you know, everything. So as people read the book, there is going to be a message. I don't know if it's overt or, you know, you would like them to get closer to God through this and also through the acts of kindness. Do you want to, other than what I've already explained with the book, kind of talk about the plot and about this adventure of Violet and her little dog, Clay?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, Violet is this girl just radiating positivity and excitement. And she goes along with her best friend, Clay, this little pup, spreading random acts of kindness. And as they go spreading random acts of kindness in this town called Greyston, where everything is gray and gloomy, things start to light up, colors appear. And essentially what happens is they paint this town in beautiful colors through kindness. And I do believe it really connects to faith because end of the day, you know, I truly believe as, you know, believers, we need to be reflection of God. And part of being a reflection of God is living by the fruits of the Spirit. So that's, you know, spreading joy to other people. And that is being kind. And I believe that's something we need, like I said, in today's world, especially, I feel like the enemy is so prominent and he keeps trying to attack our youth. I see it time and time again, whether it's the news, whether it's students I've talked to at seminars, at workshops, just the insecurities they tell me they face. I face that at a young age. And I know that's not God's work. I know that that's the enemy's work. So if we could just bring a little more joy and kindness in the world that is contagious, I believe it can make a big difference in the world.
Yes. My guest is Genesis Parolo. She is the author of Violet's Colorful Adventure. And I mentioned before we started, I was going to ask you about your name. What did your parents, why did they give you that name, Genesis?
Yeah. So a lot of people ask me actually, but essentially like my mom and dad had some challenges having children. And my mother, you know, just thought, you know, I need to name her Genesis because it is a new beginning for me. It's a new beginning for us. It really was a new chapter for her and my father at the time. And I just appreciate her giving me that name. I live by that name. Every day is a new beginning. Everything, you know, is not just what it is. Like, hey, you feel like you can do better. You feel like you need to do more. You need to live your purpose. There's another day to wake up to. There's another moment. There's another phone call where you could tell that person you love them. So I take that to heart. And it's just a blessing to have that name, really, because that's what I try to carry. And that's a reflection I try to come across as.
Yeah. Sounds like you never tire of people asking you about your name.
It probably
happens a lot, doesn't it? Nobody asks about Dave. I don't think anybody said, wow, where did you get that name, Dave? That is so interesting. You and 10 million other people in the world. Violet's Colorful Adventure. Genesis Perolo is the author. Illustrations by Ashlyn Miles. As of this recording, it has not even been published yet, I don't think. I think the official published date is May 15th. By the time this airs, it will have been published. So what is the strategy for rolling it out?
Yeah, so May 15th is the official launch day, although it is available for pre-order right now.
Okay.
But it only will be shipped on May 15th. So right now it's available via Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and my publishing house, Dove Christian Publishers. So you can purchase it before May 15th. It just won't officially get shipped to you until that day because it's a launch day.
Yeah. I could imagine you going to like public libraries and doing a reading of this for kids. Or is there anything like that? Or how else are you going to market this and get it out there? Because obviously that's a big part of the puzzle is letting people know that it exists, right?
Yes, absolutely. Getting involved in the community is key. So I definitely thought about that, about doing book readings at local churches, libraries, schools, pretty much anywhere they will take me, I will go, right? Because I really want to promote kindness. I want to promote, you know, that so people know who God is if they don't know who he is. And the little ones to learn that, to learn those morals and grow up maybe saying, hey, maybe there is this book I read once and it actually impacted me. Maybe I took something away from that that helped me today in my path in life. So really, I am so open to going wherever God leads me with this book.
This almost seems, I don't know if this ever crossed your mind or not, but something that could be translated into film or video. You know, it would be so visually spectacular to see the lights. I mean, obviously somebody could do this. Has that ever crossed your mind that putting this into some kind of video or film format?
Really? No, this is actually the first time. It has now. So, hey, God knows every moment is there for a reason. But no, that would be amazing just seeing things come to color and just, you know, a film. I think it'd be so beautiful. So, hey, if a, you know, movie producer wants to pick this book up, let me know.
All right. In case anybody out there in Hollywood is listening, right? Just a couple of minutes remaining. Violet's Colorful Adventure, Genesis Perolo. Is there anything else about it? I always like to say I don't like anybody walking out of an interview saying, I wish he had asked me this. Is there anything else about the book that you would like our listeners to know before we wrap up the interview? Or have we covered it thoroughly?
I mean, we've covered so much, but I mean, if I had to leave something, it would be to just be kind. Kindness is contagious and be that light of God, right? It's kindness is free. There's not a price for it. So just do it. And we never know what people are going through on the other side, even our youth, you know? And so it's so important to treat others with empathy and respect because we don't know what battles.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Catholic radio for your soul in North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.